Seated.
You may be seated. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verses 1 to 4. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verses 1 to 4. In verse 1 it reads, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. And all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear, or promised unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." Let's bow for prayer. O God, teach us, please, from your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The background and purpose of the book of Deuteronomy is that God is preparing his people in their entrance into the promised land. Moses, who led God's people out of bondage, now has the privilege of preparing God's people to enter the land promised to Abraham and to his seed back in Genesis chapter 12. The sad fact is that Moses will not be leading them in. Yes, he's preparing them, but he will not lead God's people into the land of promise. You ask the question, why? The answer to that question is because of past partial obedience. Past partial obedience. See, in Numbers chapter 20, God told Moses to speak to the rock, and he will provide fresh water for God's people. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Unfortunately, Moses struck the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock, according to verses 9 to 11 of Numbers 20. And God said to Moses, because of this partial obedience, he struck as opposed to speaking to the rock. God said to Moses there in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, that you will not enter the promised land because of this. I don't know about you, I really feel sorry for Moses. Each time I read the account and as I read this, I couldn't help but feel sorry for Moses. He endured so much, did he not? And there in Numbers 20, he loses his temper. Okay, he reacts. Don't we all react from time to time?
And he is automatically, instantly, permanently disqualified from entering into the land of promise. I call this the tragedy of partial obedience. The tragedy of partial obedience. That's the title of my sermon this morning. The tragedy of partial obedience. Could it be that this is where most of us live? Our yearly theme is on the subject of revival. I submit to you that the reason why many of us will not be revived in 2022 is because of the sin of partial obedience. Let me illustrate very practically. It's one thing to be in church. I'm glad you're in church this morning. But in church, but not to read your Bible and to pray daily, I submit to you, is partial obedience. We are to worship collectively, but you and I need to take personal responsibility to walk with God daily. And I would guess there are some of us that are in church, but yet we do not walk with God from Monday to Saturday. And then let's flip the coin. There are those that are not in church. As you can see, some empty pews. But they would say, all good. All good. I'm still having my quiet times. No, that's partial obedience. God's priority is never conflict. We need to assemble and we need to walk with God. Good place to say amen. We need to assemble whenever the doors are open. We need to walk with God daily. And there are many of God's people that are guilty of partial obedience. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we have recorded for us the events that surround the death of Moses. Now, as we study this chapter, I'd like for us to note some specific elements of partial obedience. We need to be aware, and may I say, we need to beware as well. We need to be aware, and we need to be beware of them. Moses was a man that knew God face to face, but yet he dropped out spiritually. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. The tragedy of partial obedience. God told Moses, speak to the rock, and I'll provide water. He reacted and he struck the rock twice. So he partially obeyed. You say, what's the big deal, Pastor? He basically did what he was told. No, he didn't do exactly what he was told. That's partial obedience. And I'd like to share with you some principles of being guilty of partial obedience. As we just read in verses 1 to 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 34, that Moses from Mount Nebo had a bird's eye view of the promised land. God gave him a bird's eye view of the promised land. From north to south, from east to west. Now, Mount Nebo is one of the mountains of Abiram, which formed a ridge of them. The word Pisgah means cliff or cleft, hill, or literally the highest point. So God takes Moses to the highest point and he gives him a bird's eye view of the land promised to his forefathers. So this highest point of Mount Nebo was over against Jericho, if you could picture that in your mind, on the other side of Jordan, east side. And God said to Moses, what you see, you will not experience. Vision without fulfillment. The first tragedy of partial obedience. Vision without fulfillment. No doubt Moses must have dreamed of entering into the land of promise. Had 40 years of dreaming. Oh, I can't wait for that day to enter in. Must have dreamed of entering into the promised land. But his vision never became reality. His vision never became personal experience because he did not obey God fully. Let me ask you this morning, what are your dreams? What are your spiritual dreams? Those dreams will not become reality when partial obedience to God is at the basis of our lives. Maybe some of you young adults, single young adults, of dreaming of being married one day. Being married to a godly spouse. And being happily married, that's your dream. Nothing wrong with that. Good dream. But that dream will materialize only if we will obey God fully. Then to be married and have obedient children. I say obedient children. And to actually enjoy your children. Amen. And have your children come to a point of salvation. And growing spiritually and going on for the Lord. Good dream. That can be experienced when we obey God fully. What are your spiritual dreams? See, Moses could see the land of promise, but God said to Moses, I give it unto thy seed, at the end of verse 4, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over. Moses had seen the land of promise, but it never became reality. And my friend, I'd like to submit to you this morning, we can see in the scriptures all the blessings of God available to the child of God. But it will never become reality when you and I continue to live in partial obedience to the Word of God. God expects full obedience. God expects immediate obedience. God expects joyful obedience. And God said to Moses of old, you see it? Here it is. but you're not going to experience it. Why? Because of partial obedience. Vision without fulfillment. And my friend, for you and I, as a way of application, if we do not determine to obey God fully as Moses experienced vision without fulfillment, you likewise will have vision without fulfillment. So God said to Moses, you'll see it, but you ain't going in because you didn't obey me fully. And we all have dreams. I like to think if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you have some worthy spiritual dreams. Don't expect God to bless you by entering into that blessing, lest we obey God fully. Point one, vision without fulfillment. Look at verse number 5, please, from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 5 reads, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Moses dies in the land of Moab. Question, is the land of Moab the land of promise? Oh no. Oh no. Moses dies in a foreign land. The land of the Moabites, the enemies of Israel. What a tragedy for Moses to die of all places in the land of Moab. Those that bitterly opposed the people of God, that were distantly related but had no time for the people of God. What a tragedy to die here in the land of Moab for Moses and not to die in the promised land, the land of his fathers, the land of promise. So Moses dies in the land of Moab. Partial obedience. The tragedy of partial obedience. Number one, vision without fulfillment. Number two, write this down, wrong identification. Wrong identification. Moses, because he died in Moab, was wrongly associated with a people that did not worship his God, did not hold his values, let alone believe as he believed. You ever thought about that? See, where you live, where you die, and where you are buried was important in that culture. Are you listening to me? Where you live, where you die, and where you are buried was very important in biblical times. And so it is today. For example, people are generally buried in a location that identifies them in some way. Note the cemeteries. Cemeteries have sections, do they not? Why do they have sections? To identify people religiously. Seems appropriate at the point of death. So you'd assume a person that is buried in the Catholic department was a Catholic. And a person that was buried amongst the Anglicans was an Anglican. And a person that was buried amongst the Baptists was a Baptist. So why is that so important to people? Because people want to be identified. People want recognition. Moses died in a strange land and not the land of promise because of his partial obedience. And my friend, this morning, your partial obedience will falsely identify you in some way. See, where you live, die, and buried was very important to people within the biblical time. And so it is today. We like to choose where we're buried. Talk to me. Why is that? Identification. A Christian that doesn't attend church, that's wrong identification. A person that claims to know Jesus Christ as Savior and is not faithful to the house of God, wrong identification. Spending too much time in the land of Moab. A so-called Christian that does attend church but lies, swears, and cheats in the workplace. Doesn't correctly identify. The places we go and where we choose to live our lives, do they identify us with God or with the ungodly, with the land of Moab? In that church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, they were first called Christians. Why were they called Christians? These disciples of Jesus Christ. They were called Christians because it was obviously they identified with Christ. They were like little Christ. They impersonated Christ. So they called them Christians, they were rightfully identified. And my friend, may I submit to you this morning, partial obedience will wrongly identify you. How sad for Moses to die in the land of Moab. Of all places. Wrong identification. If your life is full of partial obedience, you are in danger of being wrongly identified. But then we read on verse number 6, please. So Moses dies in the land of Moab, but also note in verse number 6, this sort of hit me like a ton of bricks, so to speak. Look at verse 6. And he buried him in a valley in the land of where? Moab. Wouldn't you think they would have taken his body and into the promised land and at least buried him there? No, he was buried in the land of Moab. And we read on in verse number 6, look at this. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre until this day. So So the exact location of where Moses was buried was unknown. But we know he was buried in the land of Moab. The general area is known, but not exactly where he was buried is not known. And it's not known to this day. Partial obedience, vision without fulfillment. Number two, wrong identification. It could wrongly identify you. Thirdly, out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. The importance of knowing where a person is buried is for the purpose of what? Memorial? Remembrance? Think for a moment of a loved one that you know has died, you know has been buried, but you don't know where. Bit disappointing. Listen to me carefully. The importance of knowing where a person is buried, because it is important, because that place becomes a point of memorial. Where that person is remembered, so you visit that memorial, you remember them, you not only remember them, you visit that resting place of that loved one, not only causes you to remember them, and it might cause you to recall their part in your life, but that point of remembrance, that memorial, can also be a point where that life can inspire you. Challenge you. Something they said to you once, and it comes to mind. When I visit my late father's burying place in the Field of Mars, just up the road here, it inspires me. What Dad challenged me to work hard, son, love Australia. Love Australia. Love your country. And each time I go to that resting place of the remains of my late father, it inspires me to continue to work hard and to love this nation. Now, Moses was buried in the land of Moab. As to where exactly he was buried, not known. Out of sight, out of mind. Beloved, partial obedience will impair the effect of your life, the influence of your life upon others. While you live and after you die. Remember there in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abel, him being dead yet what? So each time we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, we note that memorial set aside for him right there. We read that. And one can only be inspired that even though he is dead physically, his life testimony lives on today. Why? Because we have a point of remembrance. We have a memorial. And beloved, if you and I continue to live in partial obedience, we are not building for ourselves a point of reference. And you will become out of sight, out of mind. It was Herod the Great. He wasn't great in character by any form, but he was a great builder. He was afraid that upon his death that nobody would mourn his death. Rightfully so. He was a wretch. So he hired 200 mourners. Hired 200 mourners to mourn his death. And then he had them killed after they mourned for his death. That was Herod the Great, a wretch. We want to be remembered. Listen, do you want to be remembered? You want people to come to your tombstone or your family vault and think good of you and be inspired by your life? I challenge you, live in total obedience today. Otherwise, you, like Moses of old, out of sight, out of mind. We don't know to this very day exactly where Moses was buried. Look at verse number 7, please. It goes on to read, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. So Moses died at a ripe old age of 120. But note the second part of verse 7, it reads, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What does that mean, Pastor? What that means is simply is that Moses was still fit and healthy at 120. Still had good eyes. He's still strong. But he died. He died because he was disqualified from entering into the promised land. Though 120, he was still healthy. He was still well physically, but God cut him short. Why? Because of partial obedience. And I challenge you, my friend, your partial obedience, in your partial obedience, if you continue in partial obedience, God could well cut your life short. Pastor, you're threatening me. Yes, I am. You continue to live in partial obedience, God could take you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible reads that some were sick, some were weak, and God took some home because they partook at his table unworthily. Read it for yourself. I remember in my days of disobedience as a teenage Christian wondering whether God was going to take me. I don't recall anybody ever preaching that to me. But in my heart of hearts, I felt like I was testing God. And if I keep this up, God might say, enough's enough, my son, you're coming home. Moses was still fit and healthy, and yet God took him. His life was cut short. Beloved, partial obedience to God's word will potentially cut your life short. The Bible promises good health and long life to those that obey and honor him. But the Bible teaches very clearly, the wicked he will cut off. And I have no doubt in my mind that there are times when God in his providence will decide, enough is enough, my son, you're coming home. Partial obedience will cut short your spiritual life and possibly your physical life as well. The Bible says that Moses was still well physically. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. But God said, enough, you're not going into the land, so what am I going to do with you? I'm going to bring you home, son. Then look at verse number 8. To be cut short. Tragedy of partial obedience. Out of sight, out of mind, the tragedy of partial obedience. Wrongly identified, the tragedy of partial obedience. Vision without fulfillment, the tragedy of partial obedience. And last but not least, here in verse number 8. The last tragedy of disobedience or partial obedience that I'd like to address this morning is that it will negatively affect others. Your partial obedience, my partial obedience will affect somebody. No man is an island unto themselves. Look at verse number 8, the Bible reads, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. God's people were delayed 30 days. By 30 days in entering the promised land. Why? Because Moses died. Well, why did Moses die? God cut his life short. Well, why did God cut his life short? Talk to me. Partial obedience. So God's people were delayed another 30 days. Now they've been delayed 40 years because of their disobedience. Now because of the partial obedience of Moses, they are delayed another 30 days. The partial obedience of Moses affected a whole nation. Not only were they delayed from entering into the promised land, sadly, they were not led into the land by the one that led them out of bondage. I think that's sad. Don't you think? Partial obedience will affect others. Partial obedience will affect those around you. Moses was guilty of partial obedience. What a tragedy that he wasn't allowed to enter the land of promise. Let me ask you this morning as a way of challenge, are you obeying God fully?
or partially. Picking, choosing when and if we will obey God. And may I submit to you, that's where most of us live. Say amen, please. It's true. That's where most of us live. We pick and choose when we're going to obey God. But my friend, the tragedy of partial obedience. Look at Moses. Vision without fulfillment. Wrongly identified. Died in the land of Moab. Out of sight, out of mind. God's people in the land. Even if they knew where Moses was buried, they're not going to leave the land to go to the land of Moab to honor Moses. Out of sight, out of mind. His life was cut short. And because of his partial obedience, it had a negative effect upon others. Are we obeying God fully or partially? May I submit to you, my friend, that complete obedience or full obedience will keep you safe. Will keep you safe, will protect you. And more so, God will bless you above and beyond you could imagine. And you might say, well, Pastor, God's blessing me. Well, God is gracious. Is he not? He's gracious. I know I receive a whole lot more than what I deserve. And so do you. But don't bank on it. It's not a secure investment. God might cut you short. If you and I want the full blessings of God, we need to obey Him fully. And if we obey God fully, there is safety. There is protection. Your full and complete obedience to God and His Word could be the very thing that will keep you from a pending disaster. Let me close with an illustration. Under intense bombardment at Gallipoli, Lance Corporal Elvis Jenkins, by the way, was a Christian. He was trained for the ministry. But then he went to war. Lance Corporal Elvis Jenkins was struck directly over his heart by a lead ball from an exploding shell. He would have died instantly, but the ball struck his Bible. The New Testament he carried in his shirt pocket. The Bible saved his life that day. Amen. Apparently he had it in his pocket with Revelation on the outside. And that ball went through Revelation all the way through and stopped about the book of Acts. Just before the Gospels and the other side. The Word of God saved his life. And I'd like to submit to you, my friend, the Word of God
obedience to the Word of God will be the very thing that will save your life and save my life. The tragedy of partial obedience. May God calls us this morning to obey Him fully, obey Him immediately, and to obey Him joyfully. Let's bow for prayer.